Saul in Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, halfway through verse 19 and 20, it says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. At once he began to preach. It sounds like that Saul doesn't want to hang around. So what had happened? You may remember that Saul was on his way to Damascus to arrest and take back followers of the way to Jerusalem to face trial and punishment. And nothing is going to stop such a driven man. Then the light from heaven shines on him and a voice is heard saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? What did Saul see? The people with him, we are told, didn't see anyone but heard the voice. This was a voice from God. And the persecution that the followers of the way, that is the church, were facing, God took personally. God says to Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul's response to the voice is also interesting, for he says, who are you, Lord? Saul is beginning to realize that while he thought he was defending God's honor, he was actually attacking God's people. The answer is, of course, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Then Jesus says to Saul, now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. And so after 3 days, Ananias comes to see Saul. He places his hands on Saul and he was healed. Saul hadn't eaten for the 3 days but had spent the time in prayer and so he was physically weak. He ate some food and was recovered. But he doesn't hang around. He has a better purpose to fulfill than the one he had before. Before he wanted to destroy Christians, now he wants to lead people to Jesus Christ. That is, to make more Christians. We're now going to have a reading from the relevant piece, Acts chapter 9, halfway through verse 19 to verse 31. Thank you.
Okay. As Steve said, it's Acts chapter 9, and we're starting halfway through verse 19 to 31. And if you've got the church Bible, it's on page 1103. So I'll start halfway through verse 19 of Acts 9. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers.
Thank you. So, Saul starts preaching. Wait a minute. Or did he go to a theological college, spend some time in the church learning and growing? Well, Saul's background was in a sort of theological college. That's a theological college today in Jerusalem, but not the one that he attended, of course. 2,000 years ago, it would be much different. And the other difference with this theological college would be that it would be one without Jesus. Saul was taught by Gamaliel, who, as far as I can tell, didn't recognise Jesus as the Messiah. Saul had an encounter with Jesus. He can't help himself but to talk about what it means to him. That God's salvation is not by obedience to the law, but it is by faith in Jesus. That Jesus can save people and bring them back into a relationship with God. What does Saul do next? The account of his time from his conversion to when he goes to Jerusalem is actually in a rather compressed form. Now, my dad would go occasionally to, I should say our dad, would go occasionally on business to America. I remember one time he was away for 3 weeks. We thought it was forever. It was dreadful. When's he going to come back? You know, kept pestering Mum. And then he came back, and it was fantastic. He had a slide projector. If you've never seen one of those, well, never mind. You're not missing much, I don't think. But he'd taken a lot of photographs, and he would show them to the family and tell us about his adventures. He took lots of photographs while he was away. And we thought, wow, what an amazing place America was. What a fantastic time he had. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. We thought it was a fantastic adventure to be in on it, if you like. And then a few weeks later, a friend would come round and visit, and Dad would tell them something else. He said, wait a minute, Dad, you didn't tell me about this. What's going on? You've missed out something. What's this adventure all about then? And we used to have a go at him for not letting us know about this particular adventure he had. Well, he told us what he thought was relevant and what was on the slides. He didn't tell us everything, of course. A lot can happen in 3 weeks. And no doubt Paul, as Saul came to be called, would relate parts of his experience that he felt were relevant to his preaching the gospel. And it's only by piecing together other things that he wrote that we get a fuller picture. What Saul does next is to go to Arabia. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, it says this: but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. What is Arabia? Just want to point out to you, Damascus is up there and there. Okay, it's two maps, but separated by about 2,000 years. Today, Arabia would refer to the Arabian Peninsula, where Saudi Arabia is located. However, in the first century, the designation could also refer to the Syro-Arabian Desert farther north, which includes portions of modern-day Syria and Jordan. And as I say, if you look at it, you can see that Arabia is not too far from Damascus. What does Saul do in Arabia? We don't know. He spends about 3 years there, then comes back to Damascus and preaches in the synagogues. So, back to Damascus again. So what was the reaction to Saul's preaching in the synagogues? They were bewildered, we're told. They may have still remembered that this Saul was the one who caused so much trouble to the followers of the way, that is, Christians. They were suspicious of his intent, and this could have had an impact on Saul's preaching. Instead, we are told that he becomes more and more powerful in teaching and preaching. In the synagogues, Saul was proving that Jesus was the Messiah, something that Saul himself had rejected, but had now not just accepted, but had embraced completely. In the end, this wasn't going to go well, as the Jews in Damascus couldn't seem to refute what Saul had to say. So some of them decided to kill him. How could they justify that? instead of engaging in a discussion with Saul, it was easier to decide to unplatform him by killing him. Saul learned of this, and his followers helped him to escape the city of Damascus. Saul has got followers. First of all, they were afraid of him. Then they accepted him, and now Saul has disciples. They want to listen to everything he has to say. So it must have been difficult for Saul to leave. In fact, Saul came to regard this time as an example of his weakness. He knew that he must suffer much for Jesus. And did he think that he was avoiding the suffering by coming away from it and the opportunity to tell the gospel? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 30 to 33 says this, and Paul writes this, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands." This was the first persecution that Saul faced, and he never forgot it. Not something to be proud of. Did he think that he should have stayed and faced the governor of the city rather than running away from the situation? Remember what the Lord said to Ananias in verse 15 of the previous part of our reading. "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Perhaps Saul thought he should be suffering for the sake of Jesus and not be escaping from persecution. But Saul goes to Jerusalem. So that's the journey which I showed last time I spoke on Saul. And he's going back now, starting up in Damascus, and back over the Jordan River, and back to Jerusalem. In verse 26 it says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not really believing that he was a disciple." From the disciples' viewpoint, here was a man who persecuted the church and had only left Jerusalem to capture followers of the way and bring them back in chains. Was Saul trying to worm his way into the church in Jerusalem? Saul, having retreated from Damascus, could have found this quite depressing. He had been rejected by his own countrymen in Damascus. Now he's been rejected by the disciples of Jesus. But here we meet Barnabas, who is first mentioned in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. His real name is Joseph. He was a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. That was his nickname. He also encouraged in a very practical way by selling a field he owned and gave the money to the apostles in Jerusalem. And Barnabas seems very aware of what has happened to Saul and how he has changed. And so Barnabas brought Saul to the apostles and spoke on his behalf. After this, Saul was welcomed and was able to move about Jerusalem speaking about Jesus. And this was all okay and great until he debated with the Hellenistic Jews, that is, Jews who have Greek-speaking and taken on Greek culture. And he gets the same tired old response, in that they didn't like what he had to say, and so they wanted to kill him. And so Saul is sent to Tarsus, his home, and the church had a time of peace. The church was strengthened, grew in numbers, and was encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and lived in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord can seem like a strange thing to us today. To be afraid is to run away from something, doesn't it? We won't want to get away from something that we're afraid of. But it means profound reverence and awe, especially towards God. Saul would spend about 7 years in Tarsus until Barnabas seeks him out. But that is perhaps something for another time. What did Saul, or Paul, have to say for himself? He says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, he writes this, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Now I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. What was Saul, or Paul, as he came to be known? He writes this in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. What Saul was? A persecutor of the church, a violent man, and a blasphemer. What he became? One to whom God showed mercy, so that Paul could become an example to those who believe in Jesus. Saul was stopped. Saul was called. We do well to remember the positive sense of call in this important incident in the life of Saul. Saul was a very driven man, yet for all his drive and passion, he could still be defeated. But God's purposes were still fulfilled, and Saul was greatly used by God. He felt weakness when he was driven away from Damascus, and later when he was persecuted and imprisoned. Paul, as he came to be called, felt that everyone had left him, but he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth." The Lord stood by me. Some people might be like Paul, who is an academic, but very driven. Some might be like Barnabas, a great encourager. Others might be like Peter, perhaps a little bit ordinary, but very bold for the Lord. Whatever you are like, God has a plan and purpose for you, right where you are. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We can all be different, but the gospel is the same. The gospel is that through Jesus there is forgiveness of and freedom from sins. This is to all who believe, who trust in Jesus. As it says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, that if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I trust that you all do know Jesus as your Saviour and Lord in your life today.